You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, got a pretty big game coming up in the Big Ten. We got Ohio State ranked fourth by the committee going up against Michigan State, who are ranked a seventh. Ohio State at 9-1 on the season. What kind of year has it been for the Buckeyes, who seem to be rolling along now? Joey Kaufman joining us on Progressive Guest Line from the Columbus Dispatch. Talk everything Buckeyes. How are you, Joey?
I'm not doing bad. How are you?
Good. Let's start off with the loss to Oregon. What went wrong there, and how did they react to that? And obviously responded pretty well, reeling off the wins that they've gotten.
Well, really, two big issues for them early in the year. One, their defense was not as improved as it is right now. They had a lot of trouble really defending the pass and maybe defending the run as well. I mean, they gave up 200-plus rushing yards to Oregon and Minnesota in the first two games, and that's going to be the challenge that this week, I think, is going to be, can they go against a back as good as Kenneth Walker, because stopping the run was an issue earlier in the year, and they gave up big plays to Oregon. So the defense is, I think, much improved from where it was in the first couple of weeks.
Has there been any team on their schedule since Oregon that has given them some sort of defensive challenge that Michigan State might be able to do with Kenneth Walker?
Certainly Purdue and Penn State, I think. Those are two teams that can pass the ball pretty well. Purdue with Aiden O'Connell, David Bell, that passing duo, and Penn State with Sean Clifford both can throw the ball. I think they tested Ohio State's secondary. But I don't think there's a team on the schedule that is as balanced as Michigan State is on offense, where you have Kenneth Walker, who's a Heisman Trophy candidate running back, and you have Peyton Thorne, who's a pretty good quarterback and has a good receiving combo to throw to. So, to me, that'll be the challenge for Ohio State, is it's being able to play a team that can do both, where they can't just sell out to stop the run or drop a ton of guys in the coverage. You have to really be prepared to slow down either the run or the pass.
The offensive numbers speak for themselves, but I'll let you kind of lean into it. This offense, how good is it, and what is making it roll along the way it's rolling along?
It's explosive, and early in the year, C.J. Stroud's shoulder was hurt. He had a separated shoulder the first couple of weeks, and since he's healed, he's been really good and really comfortable. The thing they do well is, for one, Ohio State's offensive line is really good as far as not giving up a ton of pressure. So C.J. Stroud gets a lot of time to throw, and then he has three really talented receivers in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Shaston Smith and Jigba. And then you have a freshman running back in Trayvon Henderson, who's very explosive and can break off some big runs. He had a 57-yard touchdown against Purdue, so he's a little bit of a home run threat. So they're just a team that can break off big plays and explosive plays at really any time. They do get into a little bit of a trouble when they get into the red zone. They've kind of stalled there in some recent games. It's been a little bit of a bottleneck as they get close to the goal line, and that'll be, I think, a matchup to watch, because Michigan State, for as much as yards as they give up, they're definitely a pen but don't break defense. They can slow you down in the red zone. Michigan State's, I think, eighth on the FBS opponent's touchdown percentage inside the 20. So that'll be a challenge for Ohio State, is punching it in and not settling for field goals, because last few weeks they've had a little bit of an issue with that. It was better against Purdue, but it was an issue against Nebraska and Penn State.
As explosive as this is there just sort of a belief that, if you know, Michigan State's just going to have to try to control the ball and run with Kenneth Walker? Or is it explosive in a way that just utilize clock and yardage? Are they a Kansas City Chiefs thing where they can score in a minute and a half?
You're talking about Ohio State or Michigan State?
Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah, because I'm looking at the way that people would think this game would have to play out, right? If you've got an Ohio State that can score all the time quickly, does Michigan State have to just try to run the ball and run the clock, or is there a different dynamic to this Ohio State's offense where, no, we score a lot, but we don't do it in like 90 seconds?
I mean, there are going to be times, I think, where Ohio State can score in 90 seconds. But I think if you're Michigan State, maybe you want them to have a 50-yard run that gets stopped at the 19-yard line, and see you can slow them down there and keep them to a field goal. So that's the thing where Michigan State can help themselves out, is force them into some threes instead of some sevens, because that's a big reason why Penn State and Nebraska were so close in those games where it was 9 points. But I think certainly ball control would help Michigan State when they're on offense. Michigan or Minnesota, when they played Ohio State pretty close in game one, they were able to really milk clock when they had Mo Ibrahim healthy and really eat up yards. They didn't always capitalize on that. But if you're a team playing Ohio State, certainly if you can have some long, long drives that keep their offense on the field, the key will be then for Michigan State. You have to then capitalize on those, because Minnesota did a good job of holding on to the ball, but they didn't really finish some of those situations.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning towards this next idea. Was there anything about the way maybe Minnesota was playing them or the way Oregon beat them that Ohio State is still vulnerable towards, even though we've got more and more games under their belt?
One way that I think Ohio State is maybe vulnerable is they don't have – really that elite safety that they've had in past years. They don't have, I don't think, a guy like Jordan Fuller that they had in 2019 or even Josh Proctor earlier this season. I think that's maybe a weakness in that the middle of the field. So I think a team like, Penn State showed it with Sean Clifford, they were able to pick some spots in coverage to hit, and Purdue was able to get some passing yards. So They have some nice corners. Denzel Burke's a freshman who's really come along this year, and Seven Banks, who was expected to be a start at the start of the year, is a little healthier. Cam Brown's in a good corner, but I think safety's the spot where they're still vulnerable. Where they're better than they were, I think, in game one, game two on defense is Matt Barnes has settled into a play caller and done a nice job of simplifying things. And they've really settled into more of a consistent rotation and linebacker. They're starting some different guys than they were early in the year. Steel Chambers, who's a converted running back, played well. He's started for the first time last week. And Cody Simon, who was just a second-year guy early in the year. So they've gotten a little more of a solidified rotation at linebacker. So that's, I think it's where they've maybe kind of found their groove a little bit since Minnesota, Oregon.
Let's talk about C.J. Stroud. For a lot of people who are concentrating more on their regions and their college football areas but have seen – from a distance, what Ohio State is doing, what Stroud is doing, what makes him so special, what makes him so extraordinary?
He's got a good arm, and he can throw the ball in some tight windows. For people who have watched Ohio State over the last couple of years, he's a little more Dwayne Haskins than Justin Fields. He's not a guy who's going to roll outside the pocket and scramble or roll outside the pocket and throw on the run. He's much more comfortable in a contained space, setting his feet and throwing. But when he does do that, he throws a really nice ball. He can put the ball in some tight spots. And that's what Ohio State needs him to do is really push the ball vertically, get it to their receivers. They don't need him to really be scrambling and doing all that. They have a lot of playmakers for him to distribute the ball to. It's been a little bit of a source, a talking point in Columbus is why doesn't C.J. Stroud run the ball as much as Justin Fields? Well, he's not the runner that Justin Fields was, and when you have Olave and Wilson and Jack Smith and Jigba, why not get it to those?
Those are next-level receivers. I mean, they're right? So go with that. Do they get in their own way? I mean, again, the numbers speak for themselves. They've been rolling along and winning by double digits, but do they ever get in their own way? Has been there costly penalties that could have hurt them? Do they turn the ball over? How have they done with those little things that could keep an opponent in the game a little longer than maybe they should?
You haven't really seen them turn the ball over. That's been, an area where C.J. Stroud's been pretty good at as a freshman, is not having those costly picks. He's largely made good decisions. They've had some issues with penalties a little bit more in recent weeks. When they played Penn State, the offensive line had 5 false starts, and they had 2 snap infractions, which certainly gave them some drives and didn't allow them to capitalize. They do, I don't know if you'd say get in their own way, but sometimes they do make it difficult on themselves or maybe try to get too cute. They will pass the ball a lot. And I think people watch some of the games that they had against Penn State and Nebraska where they maybe got into the red zone and they weren't having success on the ground. So they ended up passing the ball. They would probably have helped themselves out a little more. Their offensive line could have gotten a little better push and you didn't really feel you had to go to the air. You could just hand it off to your running back and get some tough yardage. So that was, I think, an issue that popped up a couple of weeks ago. They didn't really need it last week. They just threw the ball over the yard, and Purdue couldn't do anything to stop it. And that very well could be the case against Michigan State, because Ohio State's greatest strength is their passing game, and Sparty's biggest weakness is their pass defense.
How would you rate the Big Ten, in not just in terms of the top teams, but where you get your most battles, sort of those middle teams that can give you a little bit of a game? You might beat them, but they give you a little bit of a game. How's the middle of this conference?
I think that's where the Big Ten might be at strongest. Is it's a pretty deep conference. Purdue, I think, is a good example of that, where they're maybe more the middle team, middle tier in the league, but they're a team that was in first place the Big Ten West a week ago, and they were in the college football playoff rankings, and they've beaten two of the best teams in Iowa and Michigan State. So that's where I think the league is strong, is it's pretty deep. And you look at the Big Ten East, you have Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State. I mean, those are three of those teams have been in the top 10, and Penn State's been in the top 25 for part of this year as well. So it's a deep league, and it's also got playoff contenders.
If you don't mind me asking this question, this is going to go off the grid a little bit. Just full disclosure, I married into a Florida Gator family. My son goes to school there, so I'm very, very close to that program. And I know how that fan base, or a lot of fan base, felt about Urban Meyer leaving and going to Ohio State later on, saying he had health problems. Is that situation similar in Columbus? How do they view Urban Meyer, who left, sort of had some problems when he left, and now is a coach at Jacksonville?
I think it's mixed. I think you probably would have half the fan base who has largely been, I think, thankful that Urban Meyer came in here. But look, I think if you look at the last 20 years of Ohio State football, I think Jim Tressel helped Ohio State dominate on a local level. They started beating Michigan routinely, and they started recruiting Ohio really well, where they pretty much got every top kid in the state to come to Ohio State. Then Urban Meyer turned them into a national program, a program that could compete for the playoffs, that could recruit nationally. He really laid a foundation that Ryan Day has continued. And I think Buckeye fans, most of them appreciate that and know what he did. I think most fans then also recognize that it was probably time. I mean, he did not have a very fun exit from Ohio State with the Zach Smith scandal. And I think even with the latest issues in Jacksonville and all that controversy, I think they like that Ryan Day and this program is a lot quieter off the field. You don't have the same level of drama of an Urban Meyer program. So it feels like 7 years was kind of like the right time for both parties. I think it's how most fans probably look at it now. But it's a lot easier to feel good and leave with Urban Meyer on good terms, considering the success that Ryan Day's had. He's lost three games in 3 years. So I think if a program were to have fallen apart, if this was a situation where Ryan Day was like Jimmy Lake and takes the torch from his predecessor and things fall apart, maybe you don't look back on Urban's exit so fondly. But because the transition has gone so well, I think ultimately most fans appreciate the Meyer years and don't have too many hard feelings.
Yeah, you got a good point, because the Florida situation was, you know, Will Muschamp, Jim McElhane, Dan Mullen, all have had problems, all have had issues, all have taken the program further back. Ohio State didn't take a step back. They keep rolling along and still get nationally ranked. So that's a very good different perspective of those two exits. Hey, I appreciate it, Justin. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, great talking with you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, sorry, Joey Kaufman again of the Columbus Dispatch, talking Ohio State football as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.